May God bless each one here this evening. Greet you all in the name of Jesus. It is a privilege for me to be here. And thank you, Brother Vernon, for the thoughts that you share with us this evening. Isn't it amazing how a holy and great God will have interest in us? That is a humbling thought. Well, I don't know what to say about as far as introduction of myself. As I was driving today from Dublin over Pensacola here, I had to think of 2004. I think it was after Hurricane Ivan, maybe, that it went through here. And we got word of Dublin that Pensacola brethren were hit pretty hard over here. So I remember we loaded up and we drove. We found some blocked roads. We had to turn around, and finally we made it here. And now that's been quite a few years ago. I remember we slept out there on the yard in front of the school. That's what I remember. And then I guess we worked for a day. I think it was only one day that we worked, and at the end of the day, we tried to find our way back to Dublin. But that was my first introduction to Pensacola. Now, we didn't get to worship together that weekend. We just came and helped a little bit of the cleanup. And then we went back. Now, a year before that, in 2003, at the end of 2003 is whenever I moved to Dublin from El Salvador. Some of you might not know, but I was born and raised in El Salvador, Central America, and found my way to Dublin in 2003. And Brother Aaron and Sister Yvonne were teaching school there at Dublin. So that's where, how old I am, you know. They were, back then they were very young people. They were, right? We all were young people. And that's where I got to know Aaron and Yvonne. And of course, you know, some of you know the connection. I think that Papa Sim was a bishop here at this congregation. My wife Joyce is here with me. Our whole family is here except for our oldest son. And that's a little unusual for me to have my whole family here. So I praise the Lord for that. But my wife remembers coming to Pensacola quite often. She has a lot of good memories of Pensacola. And of course, we have come for several weddings and funerals, and I even came here a time or two to preach while I was teaching Bible school. Remember, I came at least twice. So it is good to be here with y'all. It is good. A lot of times I go and have revival meetings somewhere, places where I don't know people. And that is pretty scary. It is still scary here, but the Lord will hear our cry, the brother said, right? Now, one thing for those of you that don't know me, I already told you, I grew up in El Salvador. I went to school in Spanish, so Spanish is my first language. So a lot of times I have this habit of referring to what the Spanish Bible says. Now, that doesn't mean that the Spanish is better than English, by no means. What it means is that it makes sense to me in a different way, or maybe in a better way to me, not because it's better again, but it's just because it's my first language. So you will hear me. You will hear me say that quite a bit in the Spanish. It says this. And hopefully it will maybe clarify some things in our minds. Now, I don't have nothing new. The Bible is clear. Ecclesiastes says that there's nothing new under the sun. So I don't have nothing new with y'all. I don't know if you were expecting some new revelation, but I don't have a new revelation. It's simply the Word of God that we want to look into this week. And and that is a comfort to all of us, because new things can be a little scary too. But it's the old story. And it was interesting because Brother Vernon was asking, okay, we probably should plan for revival so next year, he said. And I remember it was probably three years ago that Brother Aaron And Brother Vernon invited me to come and have revivals here. And I'm like, Brother Aaron said, we have somebody already for 24 and 25. So 26 would be your slot there. Like, that probably never going to happen. But you go ahead and put my name there then, I guess. And here we are, 2026. In my thoughts, as I was thinking about what to share, I would like to just bring, a introductory message to the week. And the thought that has been running in my mind, and it's been a couple of years ago that I thought about this, is that what is revival? Why do we need revival? You know, revival means it's a good thing. It seems like we all have scheduled revivals once a year, and that's what we do. We plan for them. We get speakers lined up for 3-4 years in advance. And Lord willing, we get there, and we usually do, like it is in this case. So the dictionary, it says, what is revival? It says, it's the act or the instance of reviving. Well, duh, right? Revival, reviving. Okay. It says, also it says, it's a renewed attention to or interest in something. A renewed attention or interest in something. So sometimes we lose interest in something, right? Maybe you're whatever your hobby is, whatever you have an interest, and then you go through a spell where you lose interest in that particular thing. And then something happens that it kind of, that passion or that interest, it gets revived. So we say, well, I got revived on this thing. That's one definition of revival. Also, it says it's a new presentation or a publication or something old. You know, in those publication papers that we get once in a while, it says reprint from 1994. So what they're doing is they're trying to revive this article. It's still relevant to us today, so they're trying to revive it. The third definition I found about revival is a period of renewed religious interest and often highly emotional evangelistic meetings or series of meetings. That can be the case. Now, I will tell you, I tend to be an emotional person. That's my nature. And maybe some days we're going to be crying, some days we'll probably be laughing. But I hope that we can get beyond our emotions, right? It's not just about us stirring up our emotions and feel good about it. It's not that the case. So this evening, one thing I forgot to mention is I do have a very soft place in my heart for the children. I see quite a few children here tonight. Because I remember when I was a youngster, I, believe it or not, I used to sit on the benches there where you are with Dad, and we'll go to revival meetings. And I found this, I don't know if it was on purpose or just to pass the time or nothing else to do, I would take a nap. I would lean against my dad's shoulder and just close my eyes and take a nap. That way the time goes a little faster that way. And sometimes I would wake up and the preacher was still talking. And I couldn't believe how in the world can they speak for so long. So that's one of the reasons why I have a very soft spot in my heart for the children. So I try to bring a little illustration or an object lesson for them every night. I'm going to try to do it every night. But tonight I'm going to wait to my second point of the message to give you your lesson. So you all don't take the nap yet, okay? You stay with me. Now, tonight I would like to make an acrostic. Now, believe it or not, I learned something from Brother Daniel. Brother Daniel, I learned this from him. It's neat to have acrostics. So I would like to make one here. I think I just want to use this one because that one probably you can hardly see it. And I'm just going to make an acrostic with revival. And the first point I would like to make here on the letter R, what is revival? And I'm going to put it's a time of reflection. And we're going to talk a little bit about reflection. It's a time to reflect. The dictionary says something like this: is a consideration of some subject or matter. You stop and think. You stop and think. Now turn with me to Acts chapter 27. It's an interesting story here. It's a very interesting story, and you can scratch your head while you go there. We not want to think very deep on this passage. By no means, it's a story. Whenever the Apostle Paul found himself in a shipwreck. But here in Acts chapter 27, some time ago, whenever I was thinking about this subject, we studied this passage in a Sunday school class, and it dawned on me what they were doing. Here in Acts chapter 27, verse 26, you remember the story. They were out there in the dark, and they were trying to find land. Verse 26. Or chapter 27. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down of Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country. Now, don't forget, this is dark, right? And this is the verse I want, verse 28. And sounded, and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. Very simple story. The point I want to make this is that they knew how to add or subtract rather. Because the first time they sounded, it was 20. And then the next time they did this, send this device to see, measure the depth of the water. The first time it was 20, the first time it was 15. So that means that the dirt is getting shallower, or the water is getting shallower. The dirt is climbing up on them. Simple. What were they doing? They were thinking. That's all they were doing. They were thinking. And it's good for us. It's good for us to start thinking about our Christian life. It's good for us to reflect, where am I in my relationship with the Lord? And this is a wonderful time to do that. Whenever we have a week of revivals, it's a wonderful time to be thinking, where am I in my relationship with the Lord? What does God want me to do? Is there something in my life that should be deeper, or maybe something in my life that should be shallower? 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5 says, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? The point I'm just making is it's a time for examination. 1 Corinthians 11, 28 says, but let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. I remember Brother Daniel. Again, you know, I'm driving Pensacola. I'm thinking everything about Pensacola. The different brethren that have been there for revivals there. Actually, last year, Brother Joshua Porter was there for our revivals. But when Brother Daniel came, and I can't remember what year it was. It had been a few years ago. He had a theme song. And the theme song was, Muse, O My Soul, Give Thine Heart Now to Ponder. And that song stuck to me. I never heard of that song before. And I really enjoy that song simply because it exhorts us to think, to muse, O My Soul. Now, I didn't say it, I muse. We're very familiar with the word amusement. Very familiar, but the word muse, to stop and think where we are. So this is a great time to do that. Now the second one, remember children, this is when I'm going to give you the lesson. To me, This is one of the biggest reasons why we need revival. And that is simply because of entropy. Now, entropy is a big word, but those of you that are scholars and in school, you will probably remember that is the science book says something like this, is the degradation of the matter and energy in the universe to an ultimate state of inert uniformity. You all remember that for the test, right? In science test. It's a process of degradation or a running down or a trend to disorder. It simply means that things will go backwards, we say. They were going to start degrading. They go from bad to worse. That's what it means. Now, let me illustrate with to you, children, what that big word means. The big word entropy. Now, I don't know who wants to guess what this is. I have an object over here. This is a toy, right? What do you think it is? Any of you children want to take a guess? The boys probably will know more, huh? What do you think this buggy is? You'll be going to need to run it in the sand, right? What do you think he was? Anybody wants to guess? That's right. It was a skid loader. It was a skid loader. It had the little hydraulic cylinders right here and had a nice bucket on the front and it had a nice cab. It was a John Deere, but I don't know if it got erased or what happened. But you know what, children? This thing, I bought it for my son. My oldest son is almost 17 now and he didn't come with us. But when he was a little boy, maybe 1, 2 years old, so that's 15 years. I can do some math like those fellas there in Acts. And this thing, instead of becoming newer and newer, it became older and older. And since it was not kept under shelter, the rain came, the sun came, and of course the children played in the sandbox with it. And it probably, the wheels hardly turn anymore because of all the sand that has seen in there. So guess what happened? It started falling apart, right? That is the word entropy. Entropy, and that's one of the biggest things for those of you more advanced in your studies, that's one of the proofs that evolution is wrong. That's a tremendous point for evolution. Evolutionists say, well, if you give it enough time, the things are going to get better and better and better. Baloney. That's not true. It goes, this is a proof right there. Uh-huh. If evolution would be true, maybe this would be the one I could use for work now. But no, I can't move dirt with this thing. It don't even have a bucket anymore. Okay? So children, I want to give you a verse. I want you to remember a verse. It's found in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. I think I'm going to just turn there because it's a tremendous verse. I can almost quote it by memory. But there in Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Now again, I'm going to put the skid loader right there. In the Spanish, especially in the Proverbs, it can give a little different wording. And in the Spanish, again, on this verse, it says, above all things that are guarded. Okay? The things that you guard, you protect, you have something that you guard tremendously with all your heart. Out of all the things that you guard your heart. That's what it says in the Spanish Bible. I think the English will apply pretty well. Keep thy heart, guard thy heart with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. So remember, don't let your heart become like the skid loader. That's my point. That is my point. We need revival because our spiritual lives is no exception. It's no exception. Give it a little bit of time. Give it a little bit of that descuido, a little bit of that carelessness in our lives. And guess what happened to our spiritual life? It's because entropy will take over. It will go degrading further and further away from God. And that's one of the reasons why we need revival. Hebrews 2:1 says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. The more earnest heed. Can you imagine that? I mean, you're talking about being extremely diligent. The more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Okay? Now, I don't want you all to think that we need to be in a very big fearful state of mind. Okay? Because love casts away all fear. We're not talking about that, but I am talking about being careful. That's what I'm talking about. Earnest means intense and serious state of mind. Intense. Intense. And you know how the world today is with all their amusement and entertainment. They are made to just seduce the mind into a state of inert, inability to think straight, just coasting through life. And that's so easy for me to do that. But here the Bible is advising us, is commanding us that we need to take the more earnest heed. And heed means to give consideration or attention. To give consideration and attention. Turn with me to Second Peter chapter 1. I would like to just give a few words here of Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 through 12, and then I'm going to jump to chapter 3. But 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter 1, verse 10. It says this, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make you calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Peter knew, these people knew what he was talking about. You all know these things. This is not the first time you heard the word of God. You have heard it over and over and over. But again, I'm here to tell you that we need to be very careful not to let them slip. Okay? Entropy will take over. Jump with me to chapter 3, verse 1. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. I don't know if Peter is reacting because he forgot. Remember, he told Jesus, I will never deny you. And it wasn't a couple hours later he forgot what he said. And maybe that's why he's begging the people that he's teaching. Don't forget it. I'm going to keep you reminding you. I guess I have 5 more minutes. Okay. The next time it rings twice, maybe. Okay. It says this, jump with me to verse 17. It says, ye therefore, beloved, see, you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Fall from your own steadfastness. We need to be very careful. Now, the next word that I have here in my acrostic that I would like to make is a fascinating word for me. It says vivification. Vivification, believe it or not, is our English word. I was pleased to see it that it was in the dictionary. Okay, that's not a word that we use in the English very commonly, but in the Spanish it makes perfect sense because it's a derivative of a Latin word that means vivos. And vivos is simply if somebody is alive. We say vivo in Spanish, not in Latin, it's vivos, but in Spanish it's vivo. Okay, vivo is to be alive. So vivification comes from this word and simply means that will be renewed life. It will be a word very similar to revival. To revival. And isn't that what we need? Isn't that what we need whenever our distresses and our problems, they choke up the light in our lives? We need the Lord Jesus to bring life back to us. And that's one of the reasons why we call revival. We need that. We need that. Turn with me to Isaiah 57 verse 15. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Isaiah 57, 15, I can read it for you. I did print it. I think you know this verse. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. Now can you imagine that? God inhabiteth eternity. We can't even explain what eternity is. But God inhabiteth eternity. And he says that he dwells in the high and holy place. But this is the great news. You always think when you read that verse and you're like, this is useless. God is not, we're not able to approach God. We cannot even reach God. But this is the good news. He says he dwells in the high and holy place with him also. With him also, that is of a contrite and humble spirit. And this is the part that I want, to revive. To revive, in the Spanish said, hacer vivir, okay, of vivification, to give vivification, to make alive, to revive the spirit of the humble. And then in the Spanish, the next word here, revive the heart, it was said vivificar. The vivification, to vivification or to vivify would be the word in English. To vivify the heart of the contrite ones. What does that mean? It just means that it's going to give you life. And I hope that you can remember that God wants to give you life. Jesus said these words in John chapter 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life. And that would have been excellent for us. That we might have life. But Jesus didn't even stop there. He said, and that they might have it more, what? Abundantly. Look at that. Abundantly. You know, there's one thing about whenever you go get somebody that is barely alive, they're still alive, right? Even if they can't talk to you, unconscious, but if they have a pulse, they're still alive. Now that's not much of a quality of life, right? And that's kind of the picture that I get. Jesus is saying, you as Christians, I'm going to give you life, but I'm going to give it more abundantly for you. You're going to give it more than just barely breathing. And then in Matthew chapter 12, there's a passage there. It's a prophetic word that Jesus is quoting there, or he's talking about Jesus anyway. And he says something like this. He's talking about the servant of God, which was Jesus, and how he was going to be. And he says these words, that a bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And I find a lot of comfort in these words. Because my life, my Christian life, has not always been, I don't always feel that abundant life. Sometimes I feel pretty dead. Sometimes I feel like maybe that's nearly, my reed is so bruised, my life is just weak. That's a picture that we find in the scriptures. If you study that, a bruised reed is a sign of weakness. And I don't even know what all that means. One of the commentators that I read or heard, he said that the children had the custom or tradition that there was a certain reed that they would pick up and they would blow into it to make like a flute sound, you know, like a whistle thing, right? And of course, you know, with the moisture of their mouth, after a while it deteriorated. And what did they do with a bruised reed? Throw it away and get another one, right? Well, the picture here is that if Jesus whenever he finds a person that is like that, like a bruised reed, he's not going to throw you away. He's not going to throw you away. He's going to heal you. He's going to make you whole again. And that's, to me, it's a beautiful picture. And we think about this, the smoking flax. Again, I don't know exactly what all that means, but I can think of the lamps, the oil lamps. We still used them in El Salvador when I was growing up because our electricity would go out. So we still had a few lamps that we would put some kind of gas or kerosene in it, and it had a wick. And you light it up and you burn it right there and you watch it right there and you get mosquitoes and try to burn them in there and get some other bugs. And after a while, Mom would say, "What in the world stinks in here?" But after a while, the wick, if the kerosene will go out, you know, the thing was just smoky, just nasty smoke. And guess what? This is what Jesus wants to do with your life. If you feel that way, Jesus said he's not going to throw you away. He's not going to, what does he say? A smoking flax shall he not quench. But rather, he will do what Brother Vernon read that verse, and I wrote the reference right quick. There in Psalm 18:28, "Thou will light my candle." That's what he was. Thou will light my candle. That's a beautiful picture. Beautiful picture. Maybe if the Word of God be written in our day today, we'll say we will recharge your batteries, right? We don't use those lamps anymore. We use batteries. And you know how it is, a dead battery, you got to go recharge it. Brothers and sisters, this is a time of revival, can be a time for that. It can be a time whenever you can feel the vivification of the Lord. You can feel the life that Jesus wants to give to you. And I know the problems of life. I know that. I'm very familiar with that. It tends to drain our batteries or to burn the gas, the kerosene in our lamps. And maybe you feel like just a smoking flax tonight, but I'm here to give you the good news, is that Jesus will not quench you. Jesus will blow and blow and refill your lamp of that oil. That way you can keep burning and you can become a light for him again. Well, we should keep going here with acrostic or else we're going to get late on us. The next one, a time of revival or a week for revival. It can be a time of instruction. I know you know a lot of the Word of God. I have heard revivals. I don't know if you ever made a list or made a calculation of how many revival meetings you have attended. But it's quite a few of them. For those of us that are getting older, you know, we've been up to a lot of revival meetings. But I want to warn you, one little warning here. Don't ever say that you have learned everything that there is to be learned. Because it's always something that we can learn. There's always something we can learn. And of course, there's always the time to recharge batteries. I can give you a lot of references here. But one of them, a lot of it in Proverbs, it talks to the young people, to the old people, of course. And I should read a few of them. Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. He also says, Proverbs 8:10, this is one of the best ones that it kind of gets my attention. He says, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. Now, can you imagine if we would have taught, passed the word around this community of Pensacola here, that a preacher from Dublin was coming, and he has a pickup load of gold coins that he's going to give two to each one that comes every night. And they're worth thousands of dollars. They're good collectible coins. I wonder how many people we will have here. I guarantee you, you will come every night too, right? Yes, we will all come. And here, the Word of God says that my instruction, receive my instruction rather than that. How much do you love the instructions of the Word of God? It's a challenge. It's a challenge for us, isn't it? So the revival meetings can be a time for instruction. The next one I will have is a week of revivals. It can be a time to find victory. Victory in Jesus. You know, we all know, we have heard this from little on up, that life is not a playground, it's a battlefield, right? We fight, we have some defeats. But God doesn't want you and I to stay in defeat. Right? He wants us to get up again and fight and win. And win the victories. Win the victories. If you're struggling here tonight, this week, we're just starting, it's Monday, we can experience victory. God wants to. He's calling us to victory. Ephesians 6:13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And then we have those teachings of Jesus there in Matthew, right? You remember those teachings of Jesus there? Pretty radical teachings in Matthew chapter 5. He says something like this, if your eye is an occasion for you to fall, you need to be willing to pluck it out. It's better to go into the kingdom of heaven or something like that without your eye than being thrown in hell with your two eyes. And then he talks about your hand. If your hand is an occasion to fall, you need to cut it off. And we always wonder what that means. What that means. And to me, and I know you know this, you all know this, Jesus is teaching us that he wants us to experience victory, whatever the cost. That's what I take from those verses. And I know that, and sometimes I'm not willing to do that, you know? If the news app in your phone is an occasion for you to fall, are you willing to do without it? Well, you know, whatever, you know. We kind of water it down, right? Is YouTube a problem for you? Can you give it up? Or can we become even more radical, right? If your phone is an occasion for you to fall, it would be better for you to enter the kingdom of heaven without a phone. You're not going to need it there anyway. So it's a challenge. It's a challenge for us. Whenever I go to revivals, and some of these concepts I share them almost in every revival, but I always offer my services to the congregation that I'm there. You know, I'm here. I'm willing to go with you. We can go to the pond. There's lots of bodies of water around here, even to the Gulf or whatever, to the bay. And we can have a little spiritual gathering there on a little boat or canoe. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, we can throw the phone overboard. Right? If that's the occasion that is causing you to fall. Well, so far, nobody has taken my services. And they're free of charge, by the way. So if anybody will volunteer, we'd be glad to do that. I know that sounds pretty humorous. But my point is just, what am I willing to do to experience victory? That's my point. And I hope that this week can be a time for you to experience victory. Whatever it is, there's a host of things that can be in your life that's preventing you from experiencing victory. And this week can be the week for you to experience victory. The next reason why we need revivals is this. Again, I don't know if you can read that word, but it's approximation. Approximation. We don't use that word in English very like that. Again, I had to borrow it a little bit from the Spanish. But it is a word in English, by the way. It's the act or process of drawing together. It's the quality or state of becoming or being close or near. We use it in the sense that whenever, how much did it cost you? That phone that you got, well, it was approximately $500. Within 50 bucks. Well, approximately. That was close. Well, it also can mean that you draw it closer. In the Spanish, we will say, like if I was a witness, a wreck, and I said, I approximate myself to the scene to see what was going on. But I remember the words of my dad that because of the curiosity, the cat got killed, right? I don't know if you have that saying or not, but then I got away from it. But the point I'm making is, it's a word that we can use to draw closer, to come nearer, to come nearer. And there in James chapter 4, verse 8, the word in English doesn't start with A, but it's the same idea. It says, draw near to God. Draw nigh to God is the KJV. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. The Spanish word here, draw, it will be acercaos. Draw closer, but it starts with an A. So that's where I got my approximation. I don't know if it makes any sense to you, but what I'm trying to say is that Rico Revivals is a time for you and I to draw closer to God. Okay? That's a long ways to saying that simple truth. Draw close to God. Close, nearer, my God, to thee. Near to the heart of God. Sometimes we don't like to draw closer to God because it obligates us to see our own sinfulness, right? The closer we get to the Lord, the more we see our own sinfulness, and the more adjustments and the more repentance we need to experience in our lives. But brothers and sisters, it is worth it. It is worth to draw closer to the Lord. And the last point of revival. Why do we need a week of revival? We need to start listening to the Word of God. To the voice of God. We need to learn that. It's interesting that even in the Spanish and the English language, we have two different words for hearing. We hear or we listen. I don't know if it has the same connotation in English. Maybe it does. I think it does. In the Spanish, of course it does. Oír y escuchar. You heard something. Did you listen to it? No, that's a different word, right? Hear and listen are two different things in my own interpretation anyway. Sometimes my girls are trying to tell me something. Dad, you know what happened at school? And they go in their story. And dad is trying to figure out how to start the lawnmower. And dad, are you listening? Huh? Were you talking? Did you say something? Yeah, we asked you something. You see the difference, right? It's the same way. Whenever we come to church, we listen to the Word of God. We listen even in our daily devotions with God. Sometimes we can be so wrapped up with our daily lives that we kind of forget to listen to God. And I just want to beg you, as you come this week, revivals, Lord willing, we continue on. As long as the Lord gives us life, we're going to continue on with this week of revivals. And there, this is a great time for us to stop and listen to God. Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? What are you trying to tell me? You remember the story of Jesus told about the different, the sower, the parable of the sower. And there was four different kinds of soil there. You remember that very well. The first one was the one that fell by the wayside. And he said, whenever he's explaining to his disciples, he said, that is the person that heard the word, but did not understand it. And the devil came and ate the seed. Didn't bring any fruit because he was gone. Then it was another kind that fell among the stones. The stony ground, those are the ones that received the word with happiness, with gladness of heart, and it sprung up. But whenever the temptations and tribulations came, instead of crying out to God and hearing God, they said, ah, this is not for me. This is too hard. So they give up. And then, of course, the thorns. The thorns were the ones that probably American people, right? That chokes the cares of life and the riches of life and the pleasures of life choke out the word. And it did not give fruit. But then there was a fourth kind, thank God, right? There was a good ground. They heard the word. It says, is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, in which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. What a privilege we have to gather together to hear the word of God again and to increase our faith. Jesus says, it is the spirit that quickeneth or giveth life, that gives vivification. It's the spirit that gives life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. It's worth it to pay attention to what God has for us. Why? Because his words will bring life back to you. His words will bring life back to you. Brothers and sisters, let's listen to the word of God. Let's listen to the voice of God this week. And I just seek an interest in your prayers as I try to seek and hear what God wants me to speak this week. And what do we stand of need of? God bless you for being here. I'm not going to give a public invitation, but again, I always tell people, while there's time, there's opportunity. If you need to repent, you need to confess something, find a brother or sister. They will be more than glad to pray with you. It's not very complicated to get right with the Lord, and you will experience new life in you. But God bless you for being here. And let's continue to be in prayer. Invite your friends, your family to come. There's still some more room in here. So bring him back tomorrow. We invite you back tomorrow again. Let's stand for a closing prayer.